football on Off the Ball.
You're right to say that. I could even go so far as to say I'm an anorak, I'm a geek, I adore football. It's very rare that I can get enough of it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
You're listening to Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
Yeah! Hello, hello, it's Cameron from Off the Ball Breakfast here. How are you? Just taking you through the week that was over here on Off the Ball Breakfast. Plenty we got through this week. Some of the highlights coming up for you today. The big news story, of course, was that Dundalk were rescued from extinction after a deal was agreed for a consortium led by local barrister John Temple to take a majority stake in the beleaguered club, with previous owner Brian Ainscough leaving. Ainscough had warned in recent weeks that the heavy debt meant the club might not have made it to the end of the season, as parties avoided a doomsday scenario of operation ceasing on Monday just gone. General Secretary of the Professional Footballers Association of Ireland, Stephen McGuinness, joined the show on Wednesday. He warned that while the club had been rescued from complete collapse, Dundalk, the League of Ireland and the FAI need to ensure that something similar doesn't happen
again.
We
do have to get fit and proper owners set to show they've got money. I think money should be sitting in escrow. And on top of that, which is the key thing from a licensing perspective, is that we need a group that whose job within the finance department is to oversee the league. We don't have that now, right? If the finance department within the FAI cannot do that, we need to do what NILF has done and get an external group to manage it for us, whether that's a BDO or whoever, and their job is to oversee the running, oversee the financial spend of our 20 clubs. And if we don't put that in place, this is going to happen again. It's a fact, right? And you look across the league, and the wages are going up, right? Mm. That's just the nature of sport. 40% of our teams in our Premier League play in Europe. That's where the money is, right? So 40%, and that's the drive for all these owners that are coming in and the investors coming in. It's Europe, and they're pushing and pushing and pushing. And we have to make sure they don't push too far where we lose a club and we lose a history. We cannot afford that. So they're what we need to put in place, but it's over to the league. It's over to the FAI. It's over to the board to make them decisions. Like, and if they don't make them decisions, we're going to be back in this situation again. There is more money around the game. There is investment coming externally. But that investment can't be at the behest of losing a club. That cannot happen. Like, and you know, unless we put the proper protocols in place, the proper oversight, the proper protection, well, then three of us will be sitting here in 6 months' time, in a year's time, having the same conversation. Now, I will say that when this owner came in and you looked at some of the decisions he was making, the alarm bells would have been gone off for me immediately. And oversight and what they're doing would have been looked at. Daryl Horgan signed a new 2.5 year contract in July. Like, they offered 7 new deals to players. They put a bonus scheme in place to stay up in June 24th. Like, how is that happening? How are we no oversight on this stuff? And nobody flagging that, by the way, these are barely making their bills. And just so people are aware, in any football club, the last one not to be paid is the player. You can imagine the amount of debt and what's owed. There's 6-figure owed to kit companies in Dundalk. The food, the day I was there, the food company were taking the food out of the dressing room or out of the canteen for the players because he was owed €11,000. So the player is the last one. So you can imagine the litany. And somebody has to be close enough to know that this stuff is going on. And it worries me. Anytime I hear the player's not getting paid, you can be damn sure that there's a huge depth of debt at that stage. Mm. And yet nobody sees it. Nobody in the FAI knew what was going on. Nobody was close enough to the club. Nobody was talking to the club. That means we've no oversight. And in that, there's a massive gap. Dave Carell has put his hands up and said, right, so what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? Don't talk about it. Let's see action.
The Champions League returned this week with Manchester City, Arsenal, Liverpool and Celtic all making their bows. But it was a particularly special week for Aston Villa, who marked their return to Europe's top table with a 3-0 win over Young Boys in Bern. The occasion was tinged with sadness, however, following the sudden passing of Gary Shaw, a member of the 1982 European Cup winning side. And broadcaster and Villa fan Dan Bardell reflected on an emotional night.
Yeah, quite fitting as well. He was obviously really famous for wearing the number 8 shirt, and it was our current number 8 that scored the first goal for Villa in the Champions League, Yuri Tillemans. And you're right, that Bayern game, I'm sure there'll be some kind of tribute to him. It'll be an emotional evening. I met Gary a few times, really, really nice bloke. I never ever saw him play, but obviously he achieved the pinnacle that you can achieve playing for your boyhood club in winning the league and winning the European Cup. So he's just someone who was always around events to do with Villa, was always around Villa Park, and he'll be sorely missed. And I'm sure he was looking down last night, really, really proud of the performance that Villa put on.
The Women's Super League returns this weekend with Ireland internationals at 8 of the 12 clubs, including Arsenal's Katie McCabe, Leanne Kiernan and Niamh Fahey at Liverpool, and Everton goalkeeper Courtney Brosnan. The Koigig pod host Kathleen McNamee made the case for why Irish football fans should be rowing in behind the Irish WSL stars this season.
You're only shooting yourself in the foot if you don't get involved and if you don't get invested, because it's your team, you know? Yeah.
No, absolutely. And I think
I'd happily watch Arsenal under 8s play, you know.
But like to say, wasn't the World Cup great? It was, but like, let's have another one. Let's get to the next one. Let's go, let's qualify for first Euros. And there's a very strong possibility that that does happen. As you said, like the Georgia game, then who knows, we could be playing Wales again.
Yeah, I will be hiding behind my chair for Wales or Slovakia.
Yeah.
if we could get that.
But if we qualify for a first Euros, that's two major tournaments back to back. And then if you can't build on that, then when will you ever build on
it? I do feel that there's young girls wanting to play now. I do think it's had an effect that way.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, like, it's not an effect that way. It's been amazing.
The way the journey went from going to games in Tala.
Yeah.
Where the crowd was getting bigger and bigger.
To the Aviva. And then the atmosphere.
You know, it got to the first few games, you'd see groups of young girls waiting for the players after. And they might get a boot or a jersey. Whereas now, there's a queue.
Boys and girls.
Yeah, and you're not getting near the players because there's so many fans trying to get to them. So, it's been brilliant. But as I said, if we don't build on it now, when are we ever going to build on it?
And also, we beat one of the top nations in the world.
In Páirc Uí, by the way.
Yeah. And the atmosphere, that was hands down the best atmosphere I've ever heard in a game. It was amazing. So much fun. I mean, everyone was dancing in the stands. Yeah. It was just a good vibe.
Yeah, absolutely.
We scored against England.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You're not forgetting it.
It's the little things.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
That's a big thing.
Yeah. And there was over, I think, 800 travelling support to that game, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people, even in France, people went to Metz. It's in the middle of nowhere. But there's that great foundation that's being built now, and they're getting really involved. They're organising meetups before games. It's the Irish Women Supporters Club. If anyone wants to follow them, they're on all social media. Yeah. But they're organising get-ups. They're doing fan walks to the stadium. It's a really exciting time to be involved in it. And hopefully, as you say, it'll be Switzerland next summer.
And finally, tributes were paid this week to Italia 90 hero Salvatore Toto Scalacci, who died aged 59. Scalacci played at Juventus and Inter Milan and earned 16 caps for his country. His finest hour came at the World Cup in 1990, picking up the Golden Boot Award by scoring 6 goals, including the one which knocked the Republic of Ireland out at the quarterfinal stage. La Rochelle head coach Ronan O'Gara made a beautiful tribute to the Italian striker.
Jeez, it is. It's a bit of a deep moment here, but I immediately thought of that of him, and then memories came flooding back, and I don't know where I made the connection in my head. Is it of that brilliant journalist, is it Keelan Shanley, who passed away maybe was it two, three years ago? But for whatever way my head works, I made a connection just in the sadness, I think, and people who have impact in my life that you know that you never knew, or they never knew how much you probably admired them, you know. And it was a really strange day yesterday dealing with that. I read that, and then all of a sudden she came into my head, and I was like, God, I was so sad, you know. And then I just Googled, because I didn't know how to spell her name correctly, you know. And then you just see an image of someone who was brilliant at her work, Scalacci brilliant at his work. And it was just it was a strange day, but that's the power and the emotions of sport. I know she was more than a sports journalist. Obviously, she wasn't a sports journalist. She was a journalist, Keelan Shanley. But I think, you're always kind of admire, but sometimes you never get to say to people how good they are. And it's a message for all of us going on, is that if you meet someone or if you come across someone, just even with eyes, you don't even have to say it. You can just give warmth with your greetings at times. You know, it was kind of something that I regret now, that I never actually shook his hand or shook her hand. And it was a strange day yesterday dealing with that. Yeah.
Well, that's it. That was the week that was on Off The Ball Breakfast. If you want to listen to more, you can become a member now by signing up on offtheball.com/join, or you can listen live from Monday at 7:30 on the OTB Sports app or on YouTube. We'll be looking back on the Premier League, Manchester City versus Arsenal, as well as the same fixture in the WSL. The URC also returns. We'll be reacting to that as well as the performance rankings. We'll talk to you then. Until then, have a great weekend.